Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show, The Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And tonight, of course, I have another great, extraordinary guest. And so we're going to welcome her to the show right away. So her name is Toni Elizabeth. So welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Nancy. I'm just so excited to be here.
Oh, I'm thrilled that you're here. I have a lot of questions to ask you.
Oh, good, good. That's wonderful.
But before I start asking you questions, can you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do? And then I'll start to chime in and we'll give them some more information about you.
Sure. I am what I like to call a multidimensional guide. I assist people in knowing their soul and becoming more acquainted with what they are and the real Godhead within their inner self. When I was born, I came into this world, I call it prepackaged. A lot of times people say to me, well, you know, how did you get to where you are? What did you do? And I say, well, it was just a prepackaged event. And I came able to travel with my consciousness multidimensionally, though at that time, of course, I didn't know those words. When I was 5, my father was killed in a hunting accident. And my mother said to me at the time, your father is gone and he will not come back. And you're the father now. And, you know, when I look at it now from this, you know, perspective as an adult, I kind of think, wow, that's quite a statement. But at the time, all I thought in my little mind was, now it begins.
Mm-hmm.
And so I played the role of the father from the standpoint of, you know, carrying in the groceries, watering the lawn, mowing the lawn, doing all the things the guy in the house does. And living in this world that was really multidimensional. Well, I was raised in the Catholic Church, and we all know that that doesn't work with the Catholic Church.
No.
So I'm sure you do. So I kept tucking myself away inside my own spiritual realms where I felt really at home. Meanwhile, you know, performing these tasks that most 5- and 6-year-olds didn't have to perform. So by the time I was 12, I decided that I wasn't liking Earth a whole lot, and life was going along all right, except that I couldn't find anybody to talk to. I didn't really have any friends, so to speak, and my mother certainly didn't understand me. And I asked her if I could become a cloistered nun. She was good friends with the Carmelites, and I asked her if we could approach them and I could enter the cloister. And she said that she would talk to the bishop, which she did. And the bishop said yes, that between my 12th and 13th year, I could, in the summer, I could enter the cloister and see if I wanted to do that. But he wanted me to finish my education before I made final vows. So the night that my mother told me this news, she took my sister and me to dinner, and she told me, and I was very excited. And then she also announced that that same day she had bought horses. And, you know, what 12-year-old girl doesn't want a horse?
Right.
So Mom was very smart. That was using her horse sense, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And she said, well, we'll just save your horse for you. You know, Susan and I will ride horseback through the summer, and you'll be in the cloister. And when you get out of the cloister, and then your horse will be waiting for you. So I thought, wait a minute. I'm going into the cloister to get away from people and to get away from just the day-to-day. If I can go out, because we lived in Nevada, if I could go out in the Nevada desert and ride every day during the summer, that'd be just as good.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't go in the cloister. She saved me from that. And I did ride horseback for many years. And I really didn't get involved with another spiritual group until I moved to San Francisco in the early 70s. And I met a non-denominational holy order called the Holy Order of Mans, which doesn't exist anymore. It was based on Catholicism mixed with Eastern mysticism, which was perfect for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, we had Mass, we had communion, we had all that. And we had meditation, we had initiations, we had enlightenment, we had self-realization, all of the things the Eastern philosophies talk about. And the master teacher who had founded this order and was head of the order, Master Paul, and I hit it off right away, and I told him about myself. And he said, well, I understand what you're talking about, and I can take you farther. So this was perfect. This was like a jumping off place for me and a place for me to realize that I wasn't alone, that there were other people who also knew about cosmic consciousness and how to access answers for yourself without necessarily knowing them ahead of time. And that was really wonderful. I stayed there for years, and then I finally left and have been teaching on my own since then. So that's me in a nutshell.
Toni, do you think a lot of people as children come up with, you know, their energy, their, you know, spirit, their spirit part of themselves. But because, like, even when I was a child, I was raised totally different, but not because of my parents. But in normal people who do have the enlightenment, or they do feel, you know, like they know more, or they and they're a little bit different, don't you think that most of them really shut themselves down for the very same reasons that you shut yourself down?
Oh, absolutely. There's no place to go. And there isn't any, there's no verbiage for them. There's no language for them to use to express. And that was one of the problems I was having, was I was trying to express somehow what I was experiencing to get people to understand, and I didn't have the words, and there wasn't any place to go to get the words. And so they just kind of close themselves down and hide away.
Mm-hmm.
I often think about the autistic children and how many of them are actually experiencing what we're just talking about.
I think the majority of them are.
Oh, I do. I agree. I have a lady friend who has a wonderful story about her son. She had 5 children, and the last one was born autistic. And the doctors just said, you might as well just get used to it, because this is what you're going to live with. And she said to me, I just said to God, I refuse to accept this. I will not. And she's Catholic, a very, very strict Catholic still. And she went to this Bible class that was being held by the church, which is very unusual in itself, because the Catholic Church doesn't usually teach Bible classes.
Right.
But anyway, they were. It was different. And the teacher finally one day said to her, I have to say something to you, and I'm saying something to you that is so against my religious beliefs, but I can't sleep at night unless I tell you this, so I'm going to have to tell you. Only you can heal your son. And my friend said, what? You know, what are you talking about? Healing? You know, we don't do that. And she said, well, I'm just telling you what the message is that I get every single night,
mm-hmm.
that you can heal your son. All you have to do is pray over him. So my friend said that she was scared because she thought she was, you know, going against the church. And she did it anyway. And every night she'd kneel down and she'd, by his bed, and she'd just surround him in light, pray for his health, pray for him to become normal. And she said the room would fill up with light, and she could see it, but she was afraid to tell anybody about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, after maybe a couple of months, there was this vision she had. Like she said, it looked like a pizza oven, and the door was open, and there was all this light coming through this pizza oven door, and the door slammed shut. And then it was all gone, and the light never came back. So she told the nuns about that at her son's school, and she said, what do you think? You know, did I sin? And they said, no, we think that you healed your son. You're just going to have to wait. Well, she had this intercom system in her house because it was a big house, and she said every night at dinner time she'd say out into the intercom, you know, girls, you know, your dinner's ready, come upstairs. And then she'd say to her son, Mommy loves you, Bobby. And then she'd wait for the girls to bring the little boy up, but he'd never respond, but she always said that. And finally one night she heard, well, Mommy, Bobby loves you back from him.
Good.
And he came upstairs and he was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this family, you know, to this day, and he went through high school, he's graduated, and he's one of these pristine young men. Like I said to her, if anybody is ever going to be Pope out of the United States, it's your son. He is so beautiful, and yet he was all buried away within himself in this world that is very difficult for most people to relate to, because he's very concrete about everything. You know, like we'll use terms like we'll call people funny names, and we'll say things that are kind of off color or whatever. It just does, you know, the mass consciousness does this all the time. And he will stop a person and call them on it every single time, saying, you didn't really mean that. That isn't what you meant to say.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, he's just beautiful. He's like 22 now, and he's just fantastic. So I always think about him when I think about, you know, what you just said, the children hiding themselves away because they're so connected, and there's no place for that connection to be expressed here.
Yeah, see, if you went on my website and looked at it, and I'm sure a lot of people have, there's a spot there that says The Child's Miracle Mind.
Yes.
And it's my 501C, which is a nonprofit to help get these children off of the Ritalin and
these
things they don't need to be on by using the metaphysical techniques to do that.
Yes.
And there's another part there that talks about autism, because I agree with you wholeheartedly that these children are lost within themselves, not because of something that they can never get out of, but because right. people don't know how to bring them out of it.
Exactly.
And so this, the Child's Miracle Mind is using all the medical, metaphysical techniques for that, and there will be a leg called the School of Now. And that school will be for all these children who are not quite sitting in the bell curve mm-hmm. and the ones that are really slipping through, you know, right. that are not getting what they should have.
Oh, I agree. I agree completely. I've worked with several children, many children, that I could not convince their parents not to put them on Ritalin. And I couldn't tell really the parents what the children had told me in confidence. And it was just like between a rock and a hard place and just saying, you know, just know that your child is really different and needs encouragement. And they just finally give up and say, I just can't do this. It's just too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And the children were telling me things about where they traveled in their mind, what they do when they meditate, all things they do in the quiet of their room.
Right.
When the parents aren't around. And then when they're with their parents, they just clam up.
Mm-hmm. You know, because they're basically told, you know, that you don't focus, you don't pay attention,
yes.
you know, you're not listening. Yeah, and they're told all of those things, and they're made to feel like they just don't belong.
Right.
And
right.
I have a granddaughter that mm-hmm. is 8 going on 30.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So that's
exactly.
why I put the whole thing together is because of my granddaughter, actually.
Oh, how beautiful. What a wonderful grandmother.
Well, there are days.
Oh, I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are. But I'm sure you're, is it your daughter or your son's child?
It's my daughter. I have one daughter and one granddaughter. And we're all very, very close. In fact, we all live together with my mom. So there's 4 generations of women
oh, wow.
living in
Isn't
one
house. Isn't that beautiful?
House. It's wonderful.
Do you have a picture on your website of the 4 of you?
In my book, I do. And I'm
oh.
thinking about putting one on the website because I have a book called Raised by Angels. And it's
I saw that. I saw that. And you were referring to yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
That's why when I said I was raised a little bit differently. But let's not talk about me. Let's talk more about you here, okay?
Okay.
Tony, you do a lot of things. You have a lot of things out on YouTube, you know, a lot of different
mm-hmm.
videos. Can you talk a little bit about some of them that are, like, real important in your eyes that people might want to go listen to and watch?
Sure, sure. And if anybody wants to go and look at my YouTube and wants to do it the easy way, go to my website, angelichuman.com, on the audio-video page. All of that's easy to remember. And down on the left-hand side, I've got all my YouTubes listed. And just whatever one attracts you, just click on the link. It's a hot link. It'll take you right into it. I think that the ones that are most important to me are the ones where I'm doing the light orb transmissions and also my absolution ritual. I was in the UK back in 2002, and I was at the Chalice Well in Glastonbury. And if anybody's been there, they know how beautiful it is, and there's a wonderful story about the well. And anyway, it's a very sacred place, and they have all these seating areas that are just gorgeous. And I was there with a girlfriend, and we were walking around looking for the proper place to sit down that we felt drew us so that we could just be quiet. And when people are in there, everyone's real quiet and very respectful, so it's easy to find a place.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find any place that was comfortable. And we were starting to head out towards the entrance, and I said, it's right there. And I pointed behind this potted plant, and I just knew that that's where I needed to go. And when I walked back there, she said, well, I'll just sit here and wait for you. So I walked back there, and it's on the other side of what's called Arthur's Pond. And I went behind this potted plant, and it turned out I was in the area where they put the shovels and the picks and the extra bricks and the clumps of dirt and everything that they use
mm-hmm.
to create the well and the surroundings. And I sat down there and began to do meditation, and whoop, I was gone. And I was given this whole instruction about absolution. And when it finished, the last closing words were, only through absolution will you reach the absolute. And when I came out of it, I thought, oh, my gosh, that makes absolutely perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because so long as you have anything that you say is not welcome in the oneness of you, then you can't be completely aware of the oneness, which would be the absolute.
Mm-hmm.
So I created an absolution ritual from that allows people to, and you can go on the YouTube and just sit there, and I just lead you through it. And at the beginning, I say, just close your eyes. You don't have to look at the pictures. It's just the rising moon. And lead you through an exercise that allows you to imagine yourself sitting in front of a person that you feel has done something to hurt you, victimize you, abuse you, whatever. And what you do is you fill yourself and them with light, absolving both of you from any wrongdoing, and then blend the two of you into light and absolve the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I take you through that slowly. And I've seen it work absolute miracles, just change people's lives completely. So for me, that's a real foundation point for, I think, everybody's spiritual growth, that release of what we feel has created any kind of feeling within us of victim,
mm-hmm.
or that we feel that somebody has done something to hurt us rather than we've had a mutual experience together.
Like when I'm doing readings for people and I always get into something like that, it's not exactly like yours, I actually have them write a letter to themselves that nobody else is going to see,
mm-hmm.
about any hurts, pains, angers, or guilt from as far back as they can remember all the way through to the day they're writing the letter.
Oh, that's wonderful. That helps so much.
It is. It's a very big cleansing, and it's hard. You know, people
come
and go, man, you know how hard this is? It's like, yes, but, you know, once you do it and you follow it exactly the way that it's stated that you need to follow it, you'll be surprised how much you all of a sudden open up and see a much, much better world.
Oh, definitely. It changes everything. It changes everything. And then the other YouTubes that I put out one that's an explanation of what the light orbs are, because a lot of people are seeing them. A lot of people are taking pictures of them. A lot of people are doing workshops. There's an hour, there's a movie, there's a book. And I became acquainted with the light orbs back in somewhere around 1996 or 1997. And they actually came into my mind at my request and began talking to me. And I knew it wasn't me because the words they were using I had never heard before. And they were explaining various tenets of the universe and various ways that things work. And afterwards, I said, wow, that was great. Thank you. You know, goodbye. They said, oh, no, we're not leaving. Once you've asked us to come, we're here, and we're going to stay with you. And it wasn't too long after that I began seeing them in my house. And then they started showing up in all these pictures. And then in 2004, I was at La Push, which is an Indian reservation over on the Olympic Peninsula that is a wonderful retreat place I like to go to. And they were everywhere. They were just like a mass conference of them. And so I asked them what they were doing, and they said they were trying to get my attention, that they wanted me to start transmitting information for them. So I said, okay, what am I going to tell people you are? They're going to ask. And they said, we are guardians of your soul. So I've been using that up until now. And then just a couple months ago, in the midst of a conversation with a lady that I was working with, they just popped in and they said, just tell her that we're actually the guardians of your capacity to love.
That's good.
And I went, wow, I like that too.
Mm-hmm.
So I put a YouTube out on YouTube about what they are. And then I asked them if they would speak to this phrase, the capacity to love, being guardians of our capacity to love. What is that about? And would they do that in front of the camera? Which they did.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Which made me very happy. And I just recently this weekend posted one regarding what is beneficial for us to believe and what they had to say about that. So that's, I think, one of the biggest pieces of my work right now is transmitting information for them. I've been doing light orb readings like every day for people. And I sit back and listen to myself talk, and of course I learn from it, and I'm totally blown away always at how they see things, because it's easy to say, well, they see them pragmatically, and they see them with humor, and they see them without judgment, and they see them with unconditional love, and they use all these words. But when somebody poses an issue or a problem, and they say, I would like this addressed, just because we're humans and we've been on the planet a long time, we immediately see the thing and go, oh, wow, look, that person's going through that, and then conjures up whatever thoughts it does in your mind. And when you get out of the way and you listen to the viewpoint of the subtle realm about why certain things are happening, it is such a learning experience. And they do it with a humorous, pragmatic way of not making a big deal out of it. And that's what I really enjoy, because everything seems so serious to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not really realizing how short a time we're really here in relation to our infinite capacity. So I really have been enjoying doing that very, very much, and look forward to doing many, many, many more. It all keeps changing.
Now, you have an email address that people can sign up to get your letter.
Yes.
Why don't we give that?
Okay, if you go on to my website, sacredspaceswa.com, you can sign up there. On the homepage, it says sign up for newsletter. Or you can go to angelichuman.com, and I have a whole page devoted to just signing up and what you'll get and that kind of thing. So either of the websites, you can do it there. And then each week you will receive a newsletter from me on the weekend that includes a new YouTube, new products that I'm offering, new things I put on my webpage, new information, what interviews I'm doing, you know, little helpful hints from me, so to speak, about living life that I send out every weekend. And the circle's getting bigger and bigger and bigger because people keep passing it around. So that's really fun.
It's good. On some of the YouTube ones, you have one that talks about your belief system and what does it support.
Yes.
Can you explain that a little bit to the listeners?
We all, as humans, have things that we believe that we have been conditioned or programmed to believe, and that's loosely called our belief system. A belief system is something that is supposedly in place to support you, to make you feel like life is worth living, that you have connections to your God self, that whatever is happening in your life is assisting you to fulfill yourself. That's the idea of believing something. And most of the things people believe do not fit into that category. They usually believe in things that scare them. They're afraid that if they don't do certain things based on their belief system, that other things are going to happen. And I really like to approach it from bringing it up to people how much this exists in the quote-unquote light workers realm. Because as light workers, which is a name that most of us have given ourselves, we are working with light, with energy, with what we consider to be the light of the divine. And I firmly believe and talk a lot about the fact that the belief systems that a lot of people have attached themselves to within that venue do not serve them to realize that they are God. Because as God, which we are, all of the little things that we think we have to do, we really don't have to do. We're only doing them because they please us. Lighting candles, burning incense, playing the right music, washing your hands and shaking them off to get rid of the energy, you know, smudging the room, doing all of these things please us, and we do them, but a lot of people feel like if they don't do them, something bad's going to happen to them, just using that as a for instance.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like to do, and I do it in my retreats a lot, I have some folks coming this week, in fact, for a 5-day retreat, and this is what we're going to work on, is just getting rid of, replacing the belief systems that bring up fear and anxiety and replacing them with knowledge and knowing and experiences that people can really rest in that allow them to realize what they truly are. When I talk about God, I like to remind people that however they see God, however they see Source, whenever we use a word for it, we've automatically demoted it because we've manifested it by even saying a word. But we have to say a word if we're going to explain it, so we have to use our mind to imagine something that is nameless, that created and is sustaining everything that exists. And that means everything that exists. And in that namelessness of that first manifestation, it only had one thing to create with, and that was itself. So we have to be of that material. There wasn't anything else to use.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to firmly and completely be God, using that word to name that thing. You know, people can call it whatever they want to. The orbs call it the ineffable or the eminence,
mm-hmm.
and say that that's where they come from. And so if we are truly and fully 100% God stuff, then that's really all we need to remember. And then we can act as if we are always remembering that, which allows people to remove from themselves the fear belief systems that are really based on the ego sense of separation and wanting to be right.
Don't you think that a lot of the media and our government itself, don't you think they want us to stay in that fear and worry spectrum?
Oh, yes. That's the number one card they play.
Mm-hmm.
Always. And then you go, that ties into consumerism. And if you buy this, then you're going to feel better. Or if you have this, or if you eat this, you know, then you're going to feel better about yourself, because then they're in control. And I'm not pointing my finger at any particular government or institution or religion. They're all in the same hat. It doesn't make any difference who it is. That's one of the reasons why I was just ecstatic when I heard the Dalai Lama say, if the majority of the Tibetan people choose violence, I will walk away.
Mm-hmm.
What he's saying is, if enough people decide that they're going to push against and resist, I will take my attention off of them. And when you don't put your attention on something, you discreate it. It's perfect. It's like the old story about, you know, being hated is one thing, but being ignored is worse.
Right.
Yeah, it's the same thing. So when the governments and the religions and the schools, et cetera, bring about this condition of fear and this condition of less than and this condition of you're not enough and you can't and you don't have enough within everybody, then everybody starts looking for more of something. And they turn to the very beings who are saying this to them to be rescued,
mm-hmm.
rather than looking to themselves.
I wrote another book. It's called The What Do You Think Book, Pencil with an Eraser Included, Batteries Not. And the reason why I put it like that is because it's kind of a book. All it is questions, quotes, and jokes about every facet of life.
Oh, I love it.
Really be thinking about.
Oh, that is fantastic.
And it's actually an e-book. I don't have it out there yet. I'm waiting for the very last sentence for the national anthem, you know, how we got it. A lot of people do not remember or know how we got our national anthem. So that's why I was waiting for it to finish putting it out there. But it's just questions that everybody should be thinking about, because if they don't think about them and they mm-hmm. keep their heads buried, they're really going to get shot in their butt real hard here, okay?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, and it's funny, there's humor in it, but there's a lot of stuff in there. You also talk about changing the past to
mm-hmm.
help your future.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think people should do that?
Well, I don't know that they should. I think that they might want to. If people base their future on what's happened in the past, and first of all, speaking of shooting yourself in the foot, you're working with dimensions there, and you're working with time, and all of that is simply part of the illusion of being here. If we weren't here, we could be in timelessness. So the time frame that we think about as being, this happened to me in the past, and I'm not going to let it happen in the future, is all happening right now in the present, because it's in our consciousness. So if people are allowing themselves to shift what has happened in their past so that they see it in a different way, then they can expect different things in their future. And this is being done scientifically. That's why I like it so much. It's not just some idea of changing your consciousness. It's literally being done with physical objects in the past, quote unquote, by creating a certain thought in the future. Lynn McTaggart's book, The Intention Experiment, part of her book has a lot of the scientific experiments that are being done with intention, and there's some good examples in there. One of a fellow who had tapes, musical tapes, sound tapes that had certain sounds on them and had people intention a specific thought and then went back to the tapes and they had changed, physically changed. And it wasn't because they changed in the past, they changed now, which affected the past.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a physical happening, so that when he played them, they were different. So if we think about that and think, okay, then when I think about something that happened to me in the past, I can change it for myself right now so that I don't have to remember it that way. And because we are one, we can think of a hologram, you know, one thing happens to one mm-hmm. piece of the hologram, it happens to the whole hologram. as we begin to change that piece for ourselves in the past, it changes it for everyone involved. And so people do not have to remember the past experiences, if they don't want to, in the same way that they have been remembering them, which gives them a different experience now, which gives them a different experience in what they would call the future. So it can be of great assistance to anyone who wants to step out of discomfort, victimhood, anxiety, all of those words, about things that have happened to them over the years, or as children, or whatever, so that they can experience them differently now.
Which, again, I think that's pretty important, if they can experience differently, because without experiencing it differently,
mm-hmm.
it's like they're stuck.
Oh, yes, right, because everything, and Carolyn Mace, who said at a conference I heard her at, it was great. She said, don't you just love it? You just know where there's people that every time you say, hi, how are you? They'll go, well, ever since my divorce, or
mm-hmm.
ever since my cancer diagnosis, or ever since my husband left me, and they target everything back to that point. So they're actually living the pain of that experience forward and always
right.
carrying it with them. And it doesn't have to be anything that's really big. It can be anything. It can be a cold. Rather than realizing that what you're experiencing right now is what's going to create your future for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what do you want to experience right now?
See, a lot of people have a hard time with that concept.
I know.
Not because I don't think they believe it. I think that they have a hard time being in the now to experience it. Because
mm-hmm.
they try to stay with what they know, and
mm-hmm.
that's where they stay in the past.
Right, exactly. I love the now because it's so forgiving. Every time you forget to be in now and then you remember, it's waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always there. And quite frankly, my partner likes to call me Sergeant Tony. He says I act like a DI sometimes. And I must admit I feel like it, but I don't ever ask anybody to do anything I haven't done myself. You know, I just tell people, you know, get off it.
Mm-hmm.
It's your ego that wants you to stay stuck in this past thing so that you can be right and somebody can be wrong.
Yep.
Period. Now you're the top dog on the heap. Are you happy? No, you're miserable. So let's do something to make you happy, which is releasing that
mm-hmm.
and letting that person be blessed, go in light. One of my clients who has experienced some sexual abuse said to me one day, you know, I finally got it. It was really a big deal to ask my dad to do that to me and to have to share that experience with him in this life, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you did get it. You got it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a one-way street, no matter what we want to think about it. It's always beings sharing experiences together because God is experiencing everything. It's source sourcing itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made some people really mad at me with this idea because they're still upset. And they want me to share their upsetness and to be in that place with them, but then I can't do them any good if I'm going to
right.
be in that same place that they are.
And here's what I tell them. I tell them, get out of your pity party box.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, stick a couple toes out there.
Right.
Feel that energy versus what you're in now, which is slush, and see the difference. Whichever
Absolutely.
One feels the best, then that's where you go.
Right, exactly. And just let it go
mm-hmm.
and move on so that you can really enjoy being here because being here is about joy. It's about enjoying, not how much we can suffer and see how much we can complain. I mean, it's all so silly.
Yes, it is. You also talk about oneness of we.
Oneness of we? Well, yeah. There's only oneness. So actually, the idea of separation is kind of a joke. You know, people say there's no such thing as separation. Well, even the idea of it, it goes back to what I was saying about the oneness of God and us being God's stuff, there's no way to get out of it. There's no way to get away from what created us. And I'm not talking about a person or an identity. So the oneness of it is eternal, infinite, and everywhere. And we, being the we-ness of us all, are experiencing everything together. And I know, I don't care how attached to mass consciousness and how, you know, beer in one hand, remote in the other, a person is, they know that every single day they experience things that they can't define, mm-hmm. things that they call coincidences, messages that they get that they push off in their minds. They don't know where they came from. Everybody does. And the more attention you put on it, the more it happens. And then the more you can be aware of it. So in this we-ness, this oneness of we, as you said, we can really share so many aspects of what we are and who we are just by sitting in a chair and experiencing it. I always say if everybody on the earth would sit in their chair right now, all of us together, for 5 minutes and feel, not think, but feel what it feels like to be in peace and love, everything on this earth would shift.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, it would be. It's a piece of cake. That's all we have to do.
Yep. Unfortunately, people won't even take 5 minutes.
Oh, I know. It is amazing. And that was one of the things I loved the transmission the orbs did about our capacity to love. Mm-hmm. They said, you keep saying that you want love. We keep hearing you say that you want love. And then we watch you, and all you do is you think about your mortgage, your children, your relationships, how much money you have, what car you're driving, what you're going to wear, what your boss said. How much do you think about love, this thing that you keep saying you want? You don't think about it at all.
No.
You're so lost in everything else, and then you wonder why it doesn't come. Or you don't feel it, you know, even thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. Whatever we place our attention, that's what comes to us. So when you said people don't even take the time, and they don't, I mean, I'm sure when you work with people, you get the same response that I get when I say, okay, now I want you to start out with 15 minutes a day of just sitting in silence. You can call it meditation if you want to. Just sit in silence and be with yourself and see how quiet you can get your mind. That's like asking them to climb Mount Everest.
Mm-hmm.
15 minutes? Can I start with five?
They look at you and go, huh?
Yeah. I go, okay, if that's what you want. And yet, that's the place that you're going to come to, that realization of peace within you that everybody's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't get there so long as you're busy thinking about everything else.
Right. I usually tell people, instead of getting up and turning on that morning news and listen to all the gunk and nastiness that's happened overnight that you missed, put those 2 feet on the floor and tell yourself loud and proud, this is a great day.
Yes.
You know, start like that.
Yes, absolutely.
And they look at me and they go, you mean don't listen to the news? And I said, that's right.
Don't listen to
the news.
Uh-uh. No. Because, well, first of all, the news isn't really the news. The news is what the government wants you to know about whatever is happening someplace.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen, if you decide to look or listen to, like, Canadian news or something like that, you're going to see a totally different story about the same subject.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not really getting the news anyway. You're just getting your daily indoctrination dose.
Yeah. Keep in fear. Look how bad everything is. Blah, blah,
right.
blah, blah, blah. You know.
Exactly.
And so that's what I tell people. Just say loud and proud, this is a great day. Put that smile on your face, straighten up those shoulders, and just kick yourself in the butt.
Absolutely. And another thing that's being proven scientifically, largely through the work of Bruce Lipton, who is an absolute dear man, dear friend, he's absolutely fantastic scientist, is that our cells, our body, our genes respond to every thought and every word we say in a way that allows us to tell them how to express.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that if the doctor says to you, well, your whole family's had cancer and therefore you're probably going to get it, you can tell him, no, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And you can mean that. And that gene within you, though it might be sitting there because of your gene structure, will not express.
Right.
Instead of buying into it. I broke my ankle last year, and the doctors, the medical profession and I don't exactly see each other very often. And so I knew I didn't have a lot of choice. And so we went, and they showed me in the x-ray where the bone was broken, and it was a small bone, and it wasn't very going to be easy to heal, according to their ideas. So they said they're going to put a plate and some screws in, and I said, okay, and I'm also going to do my own work on it, so we'll just, you know, find a place to meet in the middle here.
Mm-hmm.
So they went ahead and did that, and I had a nice long talk with the doctor, and he was very amenable to what I had to say about energy, et cetera. And so then a week went by after the operation, and they had me come back in for a checkup x-ray, And he looked at me and he goes, the break is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes. And he goes, but there's no mark. He says, there's supposed to be a mark. Look for yourself. There's nothing there. And I said, I know, I told you. Divine order, energy, whole energy. We'll do that. And I really think that if more people had the opportunity to learn about some of these things, there would be so much less disease. There would be so much less need for the fear of what's going to happen to our bodies. Am I going to die in pain and all these things that people go through? Because they know that they can manifest what they want in their bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I was a licensed practical nurse.
Ah, okay.
Okay, but I totally disagree with medical, you know, the medical field. Even when I was in school, I used to go down to the dean at least once a week, if not more, because they kept threatening to throw me out of school. And I told them, go ahead.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead. You know, I was a straight-A student. I never opened a book, knew all the stuff that was going on. I said, go ahead, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I have a way of thinking, and I can't agree with what you're doing.
No. No, not at all. And I know that if given a chance, a lot of the doctors would open their eyes, ears, and hearts more to what we are speaking about. And yet, because of the structure of the medical profession and the AMA and the government, et cetera, and the pharmaceutical industry and all of the other things, they can't and still maintain the professional status that they want to maintain.
Right.
And so it's job security is basically what it is. And I know my partner's father is a retired medical professor, and he and I talk very little about any of this because I know that he knows that if he accepts one piece of what I'm saying, then everything's going to change. Everything has to change, even if he accepts one idea and says that that could be right.
Right.
And he's not ready to go there. So, okay, fine. I mean, we're friends and we love each other, but it's like a religion. As soon as you find one tenet of your religion that might not be true, that means what about the rest of them?
Mm-hmm.
And that scares people. I do a little short workshops on Zachariah Sitchin's work. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him or not.
A little bit.
He translated the Sumerian tablets, and he talks about how the Bible actually was written, how the texts that make up our Old Testament actually existed before the Old Testament was ever written, and here's where they are, and here's what they're called, and this is what they say, and this is why they say it, and here's what really happened. And it's phenomenal work. The man is like 85, and he spent his whole life doing this. He's just fantastic. And he teaches you how to do the same thing in his books. He's written 12 books that are very, very intricate and very, they spell out everything that he does. And when you talk about this with people, they get upset because they know that if one piece of what he's saying is true, then the rest of it is in doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to hear about it. So I'm, you know, usually pretty cautious about where I bring it up because I'm not out to offend anybody.
But sometimes you got to make somebody think. So sometimes you have to kind of offend somebody.
Oh, no, I understand. Yes, and I will speak my mind, but I definitely know that you're not going to assist anybody in opening their eyes if you literally drag them to the pond and say, you have to drink. You have
right.
no choice. I'm going to make
no.
you drink. You know, so it's more like putting it out there, and then if I see an opening, yay, because everything is available. I mean, all people have to do is go buy the books and read them themselves. They don't need me. And to realize that all of this huge cloud of religiosity and government and everything is actually all embroiled together based on ideas and philosophies that started thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, way before any of our archaeology would ever give it credit,
mm-hmm.
and has come forward and is really not a lot different now than it was then. It's just different players.
Different players, it's true. The vacation from illusion.
Ah.
Can you explain that?
Our retreats, yes, it's wonderful. Lopez Island, where I live, is in a magnetic vortex. So like if you look on a chart around the islands here, you'll see they have, you know, like a sea chart for navigating. It'll tell you, you know, your compass isn't going to work here, it won't work there, etc. So the energy here actually moves in a different way, which allows you to experience things within your body in a different way. So I invite people to come here and to do retreats with me and to feel the earth in a different way and allow themselves to vacate their idea of illusion, their day-to-day life, for anywhere from 3 to 5, 6 days, where we will work together on whatever piece or pieces of their life they feel stuck in, as you were talking about, and remove the blocks and the boundaries that keep them from fulfilling that which they really are. And we have a wonderful cabin in the woods to stay in and do the work in, and this place is just gorgeous. There's all kinds of trails to walk on, and if people want to go kayaking, we have time to do things out of doors and just spend real quality time with me. And I, as I tell everybody, I will simply be your mirror, and I promise you I won't let you get by with anything. Everything that comes out of your mouth or anything that you do that is betraying what you really are, I will point it out to you.
Which I think is real important.
Oh, yes, and it's fun because lots of times I say to people, I just know I'm going to put your feet to the fire and hold them there until you get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and either they run away screaming or they run towards me. Either way, it just depends. And it's really fun because there isn't anything to distract them and to remind them of their day-to-day. We have no streetlights. We have no franchises. There's only 1,300 people on this island. Everything closes at 7. There's just a little grocery store, a little health food store, a little pharmacy. There's nothing here that reminds you of your life. All there is nature and me reminding you of what you want to be. So we have a great time. We have a wonderful time. And one lady came last year and I said, well, have we done everything that you really wanted to do? And she said, well, there's one thing I want to do that I haven't done, and that's to go kayaking. And I said, you want me to take you kayaking? I can't lead you kayaking. I can kayak, but I'm definitely not qualified to take you out into the ocean. And so we got one of the fellows here on the island who does this, and he took us on this kayak trip. I think it was probably one of the most mystical experiences she had.
It would be great.
Oh, it was, to be totally in control of your own little ship out on the sea, so to speak. I mean, we're in the sound, but you still have the ocean currents, and have to, you know, row your own boat and take care of yourself. I mean, we have a guide, but he certainly can't help you, per se. He's in his own boat.
Mm-hmm.
And to be that much in control of yourself. And that's all there is to control, nothing else. There's no thoughts, there's nothing. You and the water.
Water is peaceful anyway.
Oh, the water is wonderful. The water is wonderful. So,
Tony,
go ahead.
Is there a phone number that you'd like to give out for people who might want to get a hold of you?
Sure. It's 360-293-2853.
You want to give it again?
360-293-2853.
And then
feel free to call.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, feel free to call, ask me questions about anything we've been talking about, and I'm here.
Also, give out your website again, email address, whatever you want people to get a hold of you at.
Okay. Two websites. One is Sacred Spaces, and that's plural. Sacred Spaces, WA, Sacred Spaces Law. .com, and the other is angelichuman.com, and then my email address is sacred@anacortes.net, and I'll spell that. It's anacortes.net, and I pay attention to my email and my voicemail, so I will get back to you.
That's good. Now, you talk about the DNA a lot with some of your information.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to some of the listeners, or all the listeners, for that matter of fact, can the DNA be changed? Can it be made to be better? Can it be interwoven better? How does it work?
Okay, I will do that. And I will also say, if you go to my Angelic Human site, there is a tab there that says Language of DNA, and you want to read that. It refers to a white paper that is an explanation of a book that has been written within the last few years. The book is written by two Russian scientists, Bludorf and, I can't remember the other fellow's name, Fosner. And they wrote it in German, and it has not been translated into English, but there are many of us waiting with bated breath. But some person did do a white paper on it in English, and that's where I got some of this information from. The DNA in our body always feels like and is expressed as, within the medical profession, the protein builders, that which is creating the health in our body and telling the protein synthesis how to make the various pieces of us that express as a body. Well, that's like this little teeny 2-3% of what the DNA does. Actually, what these two Russian scientists have discovered, and so have others, but they are the ones who wrote the book on it, and they're calling it networked intelligence, is that the DNA itself is the physical instrument through which we receive information from all dimensions. And they have proven it using computers, using DNA, usually from embryos because it's so clean, so to speak, and sending information through it, and it works like a superconductor. And a superconductor is something that transmits energy or information without any resistance. Usually, it's like, for instance, if you run a train through a tunnel and it rubs up against the side of the tunnel, you'll get heat and flame and fire and heat. Well, the same thing with information. When it runs through wires, if you put too much information through a wire, you end up with a fire. So what a superconductor does is it allows the information to move without any of this resistance, and that is what the DNA does. And what it transmits is information not only from ourselves, but from other realms as well. And what the two scientists are likening it to is a wormhole, which, of course, we think of, you know, the Star Trek and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But when they use wormholes in these science fiction movies, what they're saying is, here's a hole in space that allows you to go very quickly from point A to point B without actually expending any fuel or using any time. So it's the same thing. It's a superconductor. And it's a vortex within our bodies that allows this information to come into us. So as that happens, and it can happen just by our own day-to-day language, what we say, just like you said, today is a wonderful day, that programs our DNA. It listens to us in grammar, syntax. It has the same use of language that we're using right now to transmit ideas back and forth over the phone. And we can change it however we desire to change it by our words and our thoughts. So not only does it express through what we are saying and what we are thinking and what we are feeling in our bodies, it also expresses multidimensionally, which allows us to reach states of consciousness that we wouldn't normally reach if we're just running around, driving our cars, going to the grocery store, or doing our job. So what I've done is to create a DNA ritual, and you can buy it on my webpage. It's on the homepage of the Sacred Spaces website, that I call DNA Reawakening, where you say the words after me with some music behind that tells your DNA to wake up. And what this actually wakes up is the junk DNA. That's what scientists call the rest of the 97% of the DNA that they don't know what it does. They call it junk DNA. That's the scientific name. Well, what it really is potential DNA. It can do potentially anything. So if we tell it that we want our clairsentient powers to awaken and that we expect that and we put our attention on that intention, then that DNA begins to awaken. And that's basically how it shifts and changes within our body, and yet it's not just about this dimension either. It's about the infinity of all dimensions. It's our physical connection to all realms.
Which is real important that people understand that this is not the only realm here.
Oh, absolutely. This is just one little perspective. I mean, if we think about it, and we learned this stuff in grammar school, that there's this huge light spectrum of which the visual spectrum is this little tiny piece. And we had that in our little, you know, science books in junior high. And all you need to do is stretch that little space that you're looking at, calling the visual spectrum, just stretch it an eighth of an inch, and you're seeing into realms that you had no idea even existed because they're not physical, meaning they're not vibrating at the same frequency that we are. They're vibrating faster, they're vibrating in a faster frequency, and our eyes simply don't pick them up. And yet we're beginning to. That's why people are beginning to see the light orbs,
mm-hmm.
which have been here all along.
Oh.
Or people are beginning to see angels or any other beings that they see that do not have physical form the way we do. They're there. It's simply that they're not vibrating slow enough for our eyes to pick up.
Mm-hmm. We're almost out of time, but quickly, do you think that the year 2012 is going to be all that people seem to think it's going to be?
No. I really tick people off when I say that because everybody wants something to happen. I believe that the Mayan calendar has been mistranslated. And let's just say it hasn't. Let's just say I'm wrong. And that 2012 is going to come. I think it's going to be kind of be like when 2000 came. Everybody keeps putting so much emphasis on something that they keep hoping for something. It's kind of like constantly looking towards Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that when Christmas comes, you're going to get this present. Well, when 2012 comes, we would hope, aside from the Mayan calendar, that mankind's consciousness has expanded enough to be more aware of what it is than it is right now. And yet we're simply growing towards that, and we will continue growing on. I feel that because some archaeologists found a calendar and they deciphered it and they decided that the Mayans stop their calendar at that point, that this means something. Well, it could mean that they simply stop their calendar at that point. It doesn't have to mean that we're all suddenly going to ascend into some realm and disappear. Okay.
The reason why I asked that is because there's a lot of people who are assuming that there has to be a lot of changes coming in our own intelligent self, our own super being. It's time to wake up. Well, I believe it's time to wake up.
Yeah.
And I think that if it takes some kind of massive whatever to get people to do that, then kind of like so be it. Okay.
Yeah, so be it. Right, exactly.
Now,
I agree.
I think we have a caller on. Is that right?
Okay.
Hello?
Can I have your name, please?
Yes, my name is Elaine.
And Elaine, do you have a question?
Yes, I have a question about my mother who's passed on. I'd like to know if she's trying to communicate with me. Does she have any messages for me?
I can hear that. I don't bring messages from passed on people usually. What came up for me when you said that was, why do you believe that she's trying to communicate with you?
Because we were very close.
Okay, then I would suggest this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything that belongs to her?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I would suggest that you sit down in absolute quiet when you know that you're not going to be disturbed, put whatever that is in your hand, it carries her vibration, and ask her to communicate with you because she is present, she hears these words, she knows what we're talking about. All she needs is an open telephone line from you so that she can communicate with you. And your part is receiving and trusting, that's the big part, trusting what you get.
Do you understand that?
And I'll just hold something up long term and just talk to her and see what's coming to my mind.
Yes. But get yourself really quiet first. I mean, give yourself some time. Like, when you know you're not going to be disturbed or interrupted or have any other thing that's going to distract you for a couple of hours, give yourself some real time. Because the thing that happens with us in all of this subtle energy channeling information is that we keep trying to do it with a clogged phone line. Our minds are doing something else, and we're wondering why it isn't happening. And it's the wondering why it isn't happening that's keeping it from happening. So give yourself a lot of time and space and quiet to sit and be with her, knowing that she's right there and that whatever it is you're holding will simply be a physical connection between the two of you. It assists you. And then open your mind to whatever she wants to say to you.
And I'm going to add a little bit more to that.
Sure.
And that what I'm going to add is that you yourself have to let go of the hurt feeling that she has left you and abandoned you. Because that's how you're feeling, isn't it?
Well, I wish, it, was there any way I could have prevented her from passing? I mean...
No. No. So you have a lot of pinned-up emotional guilt, emotional fears, thinking that, you know, there was something that could have been done. Understand, there was not. And once you allow that thought to leave and you open your mind like Tony is suggesting, your mom will tell you that. She will tell you that she is fine. She will tell you that you need to go on with your life because you really haven't done that, have you?
It's so difficult.
Yes, it is, and no, it isn't. The only reason why it's difficult is because that is a human fear that we hold within us. And if you can let go of that fear that she's no longer here, because that's not true, the only part that's missing is physical, you know, but we're very visual, so we do a lot with physical stuff. If you let that go and you just do what Tony has suggested and you allow her to come through, she will help you to understand that it is time for you to go on with your life. She doesn't want to see you sit and cry and be sad and thinking that I probably let her down or I did something that, you know, maybe I could have saved her. She doesn't want you to think like that because you're destroying yourself, and she doesn't want you to do that. Do you understand that?
Yes, I understand. I couldn't hear what Tony said because I don't have a computer. Could you repeat what he had said?
Okay, Tony, can you say it a little bit louder?
Sure. What you want to do is to give yourself some time. Can you hear me, dear?
Yes.
Okay, give yourself some time when you have like a several hours where you're going to be undisturbed, where you don't have anybody coming to talk to you or nothing on your mind, like you don't have to fix dinner or do something. And all you're doing is sitting with an object that belongs to your mother. Get yourself real quiet, breathe deeply, get yourself real relaxed, and ask her to say to you whatever she wishes to say. Did you hear that?
Yes, I understand that. But she can also come in dreams. They can also...
Like, of course she can.
Why doesn't she come in my dream and give me a message?
Well, I'm going to agree with Nancy. There is so much anxiety and angst going on with you right now that no one could get through. That's why I'm telling you to relax, to let her come. When we hold within our bodies fear, sorrow, grief, anger, any of those vibrations, we create what's called an incoherent wavelength. In other words, we're jagged in our energy, and nothing can get to us because we're all wrapped up in feeling right now like you are left behind, like you didn't do a good enough job, like you should have done something else. All of that has got to be released, and you've got to let go of that and open up that telephone line so she can come through. That's what she needs.
If you want to try to do this in your dream state, here's the way it works the easiest. First, do what Tony has asked you to do, and then that night when you go to bed, not when you first lay down, but kind of like when you're in that twilight sleep, as you're just starting to kind of fall asleep, mentally call to her. Tell her that you miss her, that you love her, that you would like to know that she's around and that she is okay, and you want her to come through in your dreams. But then say, you have to help me to remember all of my dreams. Because I'll tell you now, you're dreaming, but because of all the other stuff, that negative energy, you're not remembering. So you have to kind of do that like every night. You're going to think nothing's going on. And then all of a sudden, one night, you're going to wake up. You will either be crying or you're going to feel like you have been crying. In any case, that is not a bad cry. It just means because you've been calling to her like that, your souls came in contact. And that's the emotional release that it's letting you know that. After that happens, if you keep calling to her like that, your dreams will get more vivid and more vivid, and she will show you that she has been with you the entire time. Okay?
Okay.
So you've got to relax. You've got to let go of the hurt, the pain, the anger, the guilt, the abandonment, whatever words you're choosing, okay? And know that she is fine, and it's time for you to be fine. Okay?
Okay. And one time I was in her bedroom, I was speaking with her, and all of a sudden the light just turned off. And I
okay, that is an absolute number one phenomenal sign that it was her. That, in fact, if somebody said to me, how do I know if my deceased so-and-so is in the room, I would tell them to watch and see if the lights blink.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't blink, though. It just went off.
Well, yeah, okay. Off, on, whatever you want to say, whatever word you want to use. Yeah, definitely.
She's trying. You know, you're mm-hmm. just like Tony said, you know, consciously, because of your upset that you are in and have stayed in, you're not allowing it. So your basis is to relax, like Tony has said. Do what Tony told you to do, and then that night, try the dream thing, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
You're welcome, dear. Bye-bye.
A lot of people have a hard time when a loved one dies.
Oh, yes.
And they have those guilt feelings or the abandonment issues. And if people could just remember that it's only the physical body that's gone.
I know. It's so
but
true.
We're not taught like that, apparently. I mean, people like yourself and like myself, we know better. But a lot of people aren't taught like that. And that's one thing that people need to remember, that they're really not, they're not gone. Just
no.
That physical body is.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, our culture doesn't teach anything about death. It teaches you to be afraid of it and to ignore it.
Right.
Which back is back to the conditioning.
Yeah, which is not such a good thing at all. Could you give out your website information, your phone number, and your email address again, please?
Sure. My website is Sacred Spaces, WA, that's Sacred Spaces, plural, WA, .com, and angelichuman.com. My email address is sacred@anacortis.net. That's sacred@anacortis.net. And my phone number is 360-293-2853.
When people come to see you or they talk with you, what is one of the biggest things that they ask?
Usually, what am I here to do? That's what most people ask me. And what I like to reframe for them is, let's change the question to, what are you here to remember being? Because, you know, that old phrase, we're human beings, not human doings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's really, what do we need, does each of us need to do to remember who we are, what we are? And once we've got that, that's really all we need. After that, we can do whatever we want to do, even if we want to go down to McDonald's and flip hamburgers. It doesn't make any difference, so long as we're remembering what we are. And in that doing is the grace and the blessing that we give to ourselves as well as to the whole. And it's when we don't remember what we are that we get into the fear and the anxiety and all of the other things that we've been talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
So,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, so for me, that's where I go with it.
Mm-hmm. How young do you think children should be when they first are acquainted, we'll put it that way, acquainted with themselves and where they come from?
Well, I'm not going to say this facetiously. I mean, in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we start blessing our children in the womb and communicating with them in the womb and reminding them that they are light, and as they are born, remind them immediately that you are light and light you shall remain and light you always are and were, and that's constantly the way we relate to them, then that is how they're going to grow up. As a youngster, when they're consciously, you know, like two, when they get to say, no, I'm me and you're you, then we can start reminding them of what they are. I think it would be just absolutely wonderful to have a school, and this is what I'm sure we're coming to eventually, where children go and they're actually taught that way, so that when they go to daycare, when they go to kindergarten, and they go from a home where this is what is taught and this is the way they're treated, that they go into an atmosphere where they're treated the same way.
That's what my school now is all about.
Yes, that's what I was hearing. When you were saying that, I was thinking, oh, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the way then they will relate to everything else. And then it's like, the domino effect, you know, the next one and the next one and the next one, so that everybody is beginning to feel the reverberation of this conscious awareness within the whole based on what each individual is experiencing.
Do you think parents, when their children are talking about seeing their little invisible playmates, do you think the parents should listen to them, encourage it, or, you know, just try to ignore it?
Oh, I would say encourage it.
Me too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Encourage it and ask to share. Can I come play with your little invisible friends, too? I want to play.
I think adults forgot how to play.
Oh, we have. We have. I know when my mother died in 1993, my daughter, though she was raised the way we're talking, as she got older and she got into the school system, decided that she wanted to go more mainstream. In fact, she said to me, Mom, you know, could we just take a break here? And my mother died, and my daughter came for the funeral and what have you, without the children. And then later on, she called me up and she said that her three-year-old was saying that great-grandma was there. And she said the thing that's just absolutely blowing me away is that she's describing her down to walking with a cane, and she's mimicking her walk, and she never saw her walk. And it was just, and I said, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to encourage it, or are you going to tell her to stop? And she goes, no, I'll encourage it. And I said, good girl. You know, and so the little Casey was just telling her all these things that great-grandma was saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was wonderful. It was terrific. They're wide open. The children are wide open.
They're very wide open. Reincarnation. Let's address that a little bit.
Okay.
A lot of people have a hard time believing that that's possible.
Okay. Well, that's all right. I like to talk about parallel lives rather than past lives because there is no time.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, what I like to say is, okay, let's pretend your soul, and I call it soul fabric just because that's the way it looks to me. Your soul fabric is this carpet in this room, wherever you're sitting. Just look at a carpet. You know, it's this whole carpet of this whole room. That is all you have ever been, all you will ever be. This is the infinity of you. And one little tuft that's sticking up right there is the Susie Tuft, pretending the name is the person is Susie. This is a Susie Tuft right here, and this is the expression of you as Susie. And you have access to all of the other material that's in this carpet. And the carpet is in existence at the same time that the Susie Tuft is. You're just not aware of it because you're being the Susie Tuft. And you can access, and this, of course, goes back to the DNA wormhole thing again, all of the information that is in all of these other tufts is all open and available for you. So whatever you, quote-unquote, have learned, past tense, and will learn, you can access it right now. You can have it all. I know people get tied into, you know, it's interesting that people get tied into past lives so much, but you never hear about anybody saying, oh, yeah, I was the horseshoer, you know, in 1700.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody is always someone, and I just kind of laugh because we all are playing so many roles in so many different dimensions all at the same time. And in my book, The Call, which is advertised on my webpage, I talk about slippage because I've experienced it so much. So I gave it a name, slippage. And then I saw it in some sci-fi movie, and I went, oh, somebody else thought of that word. And it's actually slipping from one dimension to another and not really realizing that you slipped.
Mm-hmm.
And then you slip back, and you're here, and then somebody says something to you, and you realize that the two of you just had a totally different experience about the same period of time. And I mm-hmm. know that we can slip from one place to another, that we can actually access other aspects of ourselves. And learning how to do that consciously, of course, is the fun and the practice of it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people talk about like hypnotherapy, being regressed with hypnotherapy,
mm-hmm.
or being rebirthed.
Mm-hmm.
Out of those two, which do you think helps the most to allow people to really, let's just call it, wake up a little bit?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. I have never done a rebirthing technique. I don't want to. I'm not exactly sure what the idea is. I guess the idea is to bring you to a new space of yourself. I've done a lot of hypnotherapy regression in groups and with people individually, and all they basically did was go, oh, wow, I was a whatever. Mm-hmm. And I go, okay, now that you know that, now what? You know, what is this changing for you? Not a lot, short of the fact that you know that there's other lives. I feel strongly that we are a composite of everything that we have ever been and ever will be, and that we're just, it's like the quantum physics wave function, and when you observe it, it becomes a particle. We're observing ourselves as this particle with a certain name in a certain body, and we have access to everything else. So if people feel that hypnotherapy or rebirthing or any of these other techniques are going to assist them in feeling like they're doing something to bring themselves to more awareness, then have a good time. Mm-hmm. And let me know if it works. And 9 times out of 10, all it really is a few days or a day or a few hours or whatever of spending some time paying attention to yourself with another person who's paying attention to you, and it feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that as much as you want until you've decided that you don't need to do that anymore and that what you really want is to be in the silence with yourself, because that's the only place you're really going to find you, is in silence. It's like the void.
Right. People have a really hard time being by themselves to find themselves.
Yes, I know. I understand. And I also know that the old idea of spiritual madness is something that is not even allowed in this culture, at least in the United States, where people could say, I'm going through a dark night of the soul, I'm going through some spiritual madness, I'm going through a spiritual revelation, and go somewhere where they were, and they would pay, but they would go into a monastery or some cloister or something where they would actually be taken care of for a couple of years, where they could actually experience themselves, and that's all they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no place for that anymore. There, you know, you can go to retreats, you can do this, but one of the things that I find that's interesting about what's being offered, because I kind of search online to see what other people are doing and what have you,
mm-hmm.
is that for workshops and retreats that people go to, they go with the idea that there's going to be an agenda to keep them busy.
Yeah.
And finally today I saw one, and I just happened upon it. I wasn't even looking for it, and I went, oh, that's cool. There was a blog comment from somebody saying that they were tired of going to retreats where there wasn't enough time to retreat and transform,
mm-hmm.
because they're always doing something.
Right. We have another caller that just called us, that beep was. So, caller, are you there? Hello? Nope, just a beep. Okay.
Okay.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, that's fine. No, that's fine. It boils down, and it's the same for everybody, each of us. It boils down to us. What
mm-hmm.
what do we want to remove from our lives? What do we need to remove from our lives to give ourselves time and space every day to sit and be with us? And I always, almost always, get the response, I don't have time for that. Because I've got a job, a husband, a wife, children, a this, a that, a D, a D, a D, a D. And quite frankly, I don't believe it. Because I know that if we really want to do something, we will find the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like give me the pill and make it happen so I don't have to do it myself.
Right. It's like fix me because I know mm-hmm. you can. It's like, no, no, you're not broken. So it's not a fixed job here.
No. And that's one of the reasons I basically stopped advertising hypnotherapy, and I hardly ever do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I got tired of people saying, I want you to make this go away. I want you to make this happen. I want you to change. I want you. I want you. And I say, wait a minute. This is not about me. But that's what people think hypnotherapy does, and it doesn't do it. The people have to want it to happen. And I don't want to spend my time, I don't care how much they want to pay me, trying to perform some kind of magic when it really takes the person's intention to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
That is so important. And I really stress it, especially when people are coming to retreats with me. You know, don't fly all the way out here and spend this money and not have a full intention to completely do your work.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not going to do anything for you. Go on vacation someplace else.
Yeah.
Go to the Caribbean or something.
One of your other things on YouTube is the circuitry alignment.
Ah, yes. I love doing circuitry alignment. It is so much fun. What it does is allow the physical body to become in resonance with the original blueprint that is the blueprint of you. So going back to the carpet, the blueprint for the carpet exists, and that's the all of you. And you have experienced things as the Susie person in this life that have overshadowed or colored your carpet tuft, be it so much happiness you didn't know what to do with it, or trauma or grief, or any emotion that has colored this and has created your story, your view of the world. What circuitry alignment does is to align the circuits in all of your bodies, but including the physical one as well, with this original blueprint of what you are, so that you're then operating from that place. And the best part of it is it can be done long distance. In fact, I prefer to do it long distance, and I say that in my YouTube, because then there's no physical body that I'm touching.
Mm-hmm.
And the person isn't on a table in a strange space or in their home hoping no one's going to come, or there's no physical thing that's happening that is distracting from the essence of the experience. And it is absolutely awesome. For me, as well as the person who experiences it. It's not a long process. It's like probably an hour to 2 hours long. It's, on my end, is like 40 minutes of bringing in this blueprint and anchoring it within the body. And then I simply sit and wait until the person calls me and says, I've got it. And then for the next, the next 3 weeks after that, it really grows and grows and grows and grows. The awareness of it grows and grows and grows within the person, and things change very rapidly within their life, very rapidly. Anything that needs to move out, moves out. Anything that needs to move in, moves in. And they begin to live from a space that is not attached to the story they have been living from before.
That's great. Do you tape your sessions and stuff with people?
If they want me to. Some people have. By and large, I haven't.
Do you think that the tapes help people to re-listen to it so they can get it better?
If they listen to it, that's the issue. I have asked people a few times if they would like me to record what we're doing, and they said, well, I probably wouldn't listen to it. And then there's been other people who said, would you record what we're doing? And I know they listen to it. So, yes, to answer your question, if they listen to it and if they'll go back, because there's so much that happens in a session, as you well know, that a lot of the things probably get stuck in the subconscious and don't necessarily come to the fore again. So that would remind them. That's one of the reasons that I like to do readings, because I record the reading,
mm-hmm.
and then they've got it. And people say, I listened to it 6 times and I'm still getting more out of it. Well, that's of assistance.
Right. If the person is in person, like comes like in front of me for a reading, I always record it. If I do a party, I record it. And people have called me, months later, and said, Nancy, when I first listened to you and you recorded this, it didn't make a lot of sense to me, but
mm-hmm,
I've listened
mm-hmm.
to it several times now, and it really is making a lot of sense. And I said, yeah, just keep listening to it. Every time I listen to it, it's going to be more, more sense
right.
made out of it. More things will come from it.
Right.
Or people will call me and go, Nancy, I've listened to your tape for so long, it's warped. I need a new one.
Yeah, right. Somebody did tell me that. They said, my tape broke. I said, well, we'll have to do it again. I don't keep copies.
Yeah, no, I don't keep copies. It's like, this is yours. It's what you get is what you get.
What's been great for me is I've been doing it now on CD,
mm-hmm.
and because the software that I use to create the CD asks me if I want to save it, I've been saving them, and it did. I've only had to make a copy once, but I mailed it to somebody, and they didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, do you have a copy? And I said, yes, I do, because it's just on my computer now, which makes
yeah.
it much easier.
That's great. We've gone over time. I hope you don't mind. We're going to do just
no,
a couple more
No, I think
it was
lovely.
Minutes. Great. Please give out your information for all the listeners again.
Okay. My websites are sacredspaceswa.com at angelichuman.com. My email address is sacred@anacortes.net. That's sacred@anacortes.net. And my phone number is 360-293-2853.
Great. Is there anything you'd like to leave our listeners with before we go?
Yes. I would like to give you an invitation. It's a little bit of a challenge, but it's an invitation, really, to spend time each day, and pretty soon you'll do it all the time, but just start tomorrow doing one thing that does not include doing it from behind your mask. Open your heart, make yourself vulnerable so people can really see you, and act from that place and watch what a difference it makes in not only your own life, but in the lives of everybody around you. And as I said, pretty soon you'll do it all the time because it's very addictive.
Again, I think it's real important that people see that, understand it, and go with it.
Yes, I do too. Absolutely.
It has been great having you on the show. If they'd like to hear your YouTube stuff, is there a way that they find it?
Yes, the easiest way to find it is just go to my website, Angelic Human, go to the audio and video page, and down on the bottom at the left, I have each of my YouTubes by its title. Just click on it. That's the hot link. It'll take you right there.
Great. Thank you very much for spending the time with us. I'm sure everybody who listened enjoyed it. I know I did.
Thank you, Nancy. It was wonderful.
You're very welcome. And I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Try some of the things that we've talked about, and I'm sure it'll make a difference. Bye now.
Bye-bye.